Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, reading the first seven verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, as we come now to thy precious word tonight, we ask thee to meet with us and close us in with thyself. Father, I pray that every distracting thought would be removed from every mind. Give us, we pray, an attentive spirit. Pray that Satan will be defeated in every plan that he has for this service tonight, and that the Spirit of God will have free course, complete liberty, moving from seat to seat, moving to every child of God, to take the things of the Word of God, of Christ, and write them on our hearts. And Lord, also we pray that some soul here tonight without the knowledge of Christ would see and understand like they've never understood before. This is not something we can do ourselves. It's only something that can be done by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we're so conscious of the weakness of our own flesh, the weakness of our words, how foolish we are at the best of time. And yet, Lord, therefore we come, we can say as the apostle did, when I am weak, then am I strong. Therefore, may the Savior be glorified, and may the Word of God not be hindered in any way. Bless us, we ask tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're taking another step tonight in our study in the book of Ephesians. There is, in the seventh verse, a glorious gospel note. It resonates throughout the entire history of God's dealing with mankind. It is that of redemption. Look with me, please. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This is my text tonight. And as we, for a few moments, bask in the sunlight of this glorious truth, it is my prayer that sinners will be saved. Those who may be backsliders or just even a little cold in heart will be drawn back to the Lord this night. And that those who are faithful followers of Christ will, by the zeal of the Holy Ghost, come with a renewed enthusiasm to take the gospel message, which is so simple, so gloriously clear, and that we will endeavor to spread that word, because we have been delivered from hell. We have been set upon the rock of Christ Jesus and the foundation, and therefore, because of that truth, that we might be implored to go forward with this great and glorious message. You know, before a person comes to Christ, before they are saved, They are captive in the slave market of sin. Oh, very often a sinner doesn't see that. Most times an unbeliever doesn't realize that they are held captive by anything. As a matter of fact, they think they have perfect and full freedom and liberty to do as they like and to live as they please. But only if you could see tonight, if you're outside of Christ, you're held in the bondage of your own sin. And Satan is making a monkey out of you. You're held captive by the devil at his will. You are sold out to this world. Sold out to your own flesh. Sold out to the devil. In the slave market of your sin, you're in bondage. And you need to be freed. Someone, though, must purchase you. Someone must come to deliver you from that slave market that you're in. Someone must redeem the soul of the person who is held captive and is sold in sin. In a general sense in the Scripture, the word redemption means to set free by paying a price. Liberty that is procured by the payment of a ransom. For example, in the secular sense, a mortgage holds a house in bondage until it is paid in full. The repossessing of property cannot be obtained until, first of all the debts are cleared, all the back taxes are paid, because it is held in bondage to that. In the Scripture, redemption refers to the saving purposes of God in both the revelation and the work of Christ. But in a particular sense, the deliverance of God's elect is what is intended in the word redemption, from a state of sin to a state of salvation by means of the merit and the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been paid for us on our behalf. You see, the word redemption means delivery. The delivery from captivity and misery by the intervention of a price or a ransom. As John Owen, the theologian, put it, he said, "The price of such a redemption, that which was received as a valuable consideration for our release." A valuable consideration. You see, if you're going to be redeemed, the price of redemption has got to be equal to or exceed the price of your bondage. And that's what Owen was getting at. It is interesting to note that some modern versions of the Scripture, they use the word deliverance here in this text instead of redemption. Now there is, of course, the sense and the meaning of being delivered, but there's something much more with the word ransom. Because with the word ransom, there is something that has to be paid in order to be delivered. But with the word deliverance, there could be a whole host of meanings. There is something special about the word redemption. Now in the Bible, when it speaks about redemption of a soul, it's referring to the salvation of that soul from the bondage and the curse of sin. Therefore, to be redeemed from sin is the same as being saved from your sin. When we obtain redemption, it is vital to the soul, because without that, we cannot experience the salvation that God has intended for us. We can never know what it is to be in the presence of God without this redemption. It is absolutely vital. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not under the umbrella of God's redemption, you will never see Him. You will never be in His kingdom. You will never come to heaven. You must have this ransom paid on your behalf. When you are redeemed, there is a change in your standing. For at one time, you were a prisoner held captive to your sin, And when this redemption has occurred, your standing has been moved. No longer are you a prisoner. Now you are brought to the standing of a free man. Free in Christ. And the Bible talks about this change as being so radical, the Lord said it was a new birth. You are born again. And as much as that word has been thrown around today and it has been minimized in the currency of its expression, people talk about new birth. Roman Catholics are called born again people and going to the Mass and continuing under the umbrella of that system. And yet it cannot mean the same, have the same potency as what the Bible says it means. For a new birth is a conversion. There's a change, a radical change in the life. But as we come to our text tonight, I want you to think first of all about the origin of this redemption. Where has it come from? Where does it find its root? Where does it find its beginning, its genesis? Well, our text tells us it is according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace. This is not the invention of ancient man. It's not from some form of civilization or culture in history. It is not merely the theory of some theologian. The idea of a person, of a man being redeemed, it's founded in the depths of the wisdom of God. For the one, the Lord God, who loved creation, His people, His creation so much, that it says, according to the riches of His grace, we have received this redemption. You know, the world has a very tainted view about God. The world looks at God or the idea of the Almighty as being someone who is selfish because He wants to be worshipped. He's like an angry bully because He's going to judge and punish someone if they step out of line. Maybe you have a slightly twisted view of God in your thinking tonight. Yet the word of the Lord says, the Lord God is plenteous in mercy. Unto all them that call upon Him, He will not turn away any who come for salvation. He is a great God of endless mercy. Yes, my friend, our God is a great God. And this redemption that's being talked about in this verse is according to the riches of His grace. Now, how can you describe the riches of God? The psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And by the very means of Him being the Creator, He is the one who owns all that He has created. And we think of these in so limited terms, if we think of the earth or the moon or the universe. And, you know, it's so difficult for us to comprehend when we're talking about the riches of God. And yet God is said in this verse and in the Scripture to be rich in things that are not material. He is rich in His mercy. He is rich in His love toward you. He is rich in His compassion, and His grace is far beyond what we can imagine with our finite mind and comprehend. And my friend, our redemption is based upon this truth. According to the riches of His grace, He has extended this redemption to our souls. We are redeemed. Now our text says very specifically, according to. And you might say, well, what is the difference between saying according to the riches of God and out of the riches of God? Oh, there is quite a difference. If someone was to come along and give you $100, you would say that they have given you of their substance. But if that same person was to give you a checkbook signed, each check being blank, saying to you, here, supply your need, whatever that might be, you would be then drawing according to the wealth and the riches of that individual. And now project that in your mind beyond just a man to the eternal and infinite God. For He does not give to us and become diminished by His giving. He gives to us of the riches of His grace according to His great wealth. And so if you could measure the riches of God, if you would be able to comprehend the wealth of God, then you would have some idea of what it means in the redemption that He has purchased for you and given to us. Therefore, when we have received the redemption of our souls, it was not simply out of His riches, but it was according to the riches of His grace. Believer, God has not given to you in some stingy manner. He is not tight to open His hand toward us, but He is one who is gracious. For as the hymn writer said, "For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." The Lord is kind and He is good. Notice it says in our text also, it is the riches of His grace. His grace. Unmerited favor. Deserving nothing from the Lord and yet receiving everything. Oh, it's not quite accurate though, is it? What we deserved from the Lord was eternal wrath. We deserve from the Lord to be judged for our sin, and yet He has not given that to us. God in His great grace has given to us what we never did deserve. He has poured out of His infinite riches and grace to us. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by choice. And because of that sin, we will have to give judgment or give payment one day for that. So the question comes to us, how then can we be redeemed? So if God has provided, He has given to us this redemption according to the riches of His grace, what then will be the means of our redemption? Well, let's come back to our text again, because the means of our redemption is found here. In whom we have redemption through His blood. It is the work, my friends. It is the work of Christ on the cross who shed His blood and died for me. The Lord is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who paid the price in its completeness, in its fullness. And He has given to me eternal life. So that I know today I will never perish. I will never come to a position of having to owe something or to pay for something because God has in His grace created me, and He has also, by His grace and His redemptive power, bought me. There's a story told of a little boy, and he worked very hard to craft a small wooden boat. And he took a great deal of time to do this, and when he was finished, he took it down to the river and began to play with it. The current, though, was too strong, and it got out of his reach. And the current took it downriver, and he could not catch up to it. He was devastated by this because he had put so much time and effort into it, and his heart was broken because he had lost that which he had made. Some months later, he was walking in the town, and there was a second-hand store. And to his great shock and amazement, there in the window, he saw his boat. He couldn't imagine how that happened. Well, what had happened is someone had found the boat downriver, and they had brought it into the second-hand store, and there it was for sale. And the boy goes in and he says, "Oh, sir, excuse me, that's my boat." He says, I have no proof of that, I'm sorry. "But I made that boat, it's mine." He said, "I'm sorry, son. If you want that boat, you're going to have to buy it." And so the little boy went home, and he emptied his piggy bank, and he brought back to that store all his savings. And he went and he bought the boat. And he came out of the store very happy. And he said, "Now you're twice mine," he said. "I made you, and now I have bought you. and now you belong to me twice over. And you can see the illustration. The Lord made us. He created us out of nothing. And we rebelled and sinned against Him, and we ran away from Him. And the Lord, in His great mercy, saw us in the window, in the storefront of our own sin. And He brought us to the point where He bought us back to Himself, and He has saved us. Jesus paid it all, as the hymn writer wrote. All to Him that I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He has washed it white as snow. Do you know that death is the penalty for sin? The Scripture says in Ezekiel 18:18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. The Lord has promised that in His Word, that when we have broken the law of God, if a law has been broken, it must be paid for. Someone has got to pay for the broken sin, or else God would not be true in His Word. Some people wonder, well, why is it such a difficult thing for God, who can do anything? Why can't He just excuse the sin and forget it and just bring everyone to heaven? How come He cannot do that? Because God has already stated very clearly in His Word that His Word is true and right, and the standard is high. And He said, the soul that breaks one of my sins must be punished. And therefore God cannot go back on His Word. And here, my friends, is the great wonder and grace of your redemption. That because the Lord is just and holy and righteous, and because He loved you so much, the only remedy was that someone would pay the price to redeem your soul from your sin. And that price was the price of His only begotten Son. It was paid with nothing less than what was required to ransom and deliver a soul from the curse and the judgment that was hanging over us. So I ask you the question, if your sin deserves judgment and you will one day be judged for your sin, if you stand before the great judgment seat of heaven, and you are standing there in your own sin, God will require payment from you. And the payment will be separation forever in a Christless hell. That will be the payment you must pay for sin. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, as He died upon the cross of Calvary, He took the weight of my punishment, and the judgment of God fell upon Him in my place. And so if you could imagine or fathom the weight of an eternity that you would have to be in hell to pay for your sin, and it all fell upon Christ in a condensed period of time, the weight of wrath fell upon Him. And we cannot understand that. We cannot comprehend that. But it required the shedding of the blood of Christ. My friend, you'll never get into heaven by church membership, by baptism. How foolish, what a deceptive lie of the devil to think by a few drops of water sprinkled on your head, or some water poured on you, or being brought right under the water, that that's going to save a soul. More people that are baptized have been damned because the devil's deception has been great to them. You cannot get to heaven by anything of these types, of living a good life or trying to be kind to your neighbor. No, my friend, the only redemption for your sin, the only price to be paid, is the price of the blood of Christ. He loved you. He loved me so much that He died for me. Ah, but let's think finally of the blessings of this redemption to us. We've been touching on them already because our verse tells us even the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sin. Here is something that every person in this building tonight is interested in. My friend, if you're not interested in this tonight, then there is something more serious wrong with you, because if you know your sin is going to keep you out of heaven, And would you not want to know and find out absolutely with certainty how you can know I'm going to be able to get to heaven to enjoy the blessings of God for all eternity? What is it that can possibly cancel my sin debt? Maybe you remember seeing a while ago, they had some credit card commercials on television. And it was kind of a magical thing where all of a sudden you go and you see the credit card balance has all of a sudden come to zero. And if the world was really like this, you wouldn't need a credit card, was virtually the gist of it. Friend, if you think that there's some way of magically just, oh, God's just going to forget this at the end of it, and your sin account will automatically just become zero from some other way, that will never happen. The only way, my friend, it can happen is that our sins will be forgiven and washed away. It is by the redemptive power and working of Christ. He is able to obliterate our sin and the guilt that comes along with our sin, and then the door of heaven will be open when our sin has been forgiven. Before we were granted this forgiveness, our sin, it left us defiled. It left us unclean. It left us unable to enter into God's presence. But now, through and by Christ Jesus, we who sometimes were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ through that redemption. And what about this? Is it a partial redemption? No, it's an absolutely a full redemption. It is a complete redemption. All our sins, it reaches the very depths to the vilest of sinners. They can know the cleansing, the full cleansing of the blood of Christ. Again, the hymn writer said, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." It does not matter what sin you've committed tonight. There is a full pardon for you. If you were to repent and believe the gospel, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians, he said that some of you have been saved from the most vile of sins. Some of you have been saved from the sins of incest. Some of you have been saved from the sin of homosexuality. He said to this Corinthian church, God has reached down to the pit of your sin and He's delivered you from the vilest. And He's set you upon the rock, Christ Jesus. My friend, the Lord is still able to do that tonight. Why? Because He has saved me from my sin. He has saved you from your sin. And oh, would there not be a lot of shamed heads tonight? If our sins were to be enumerated, even to a degree, before this public audience, great shame. And yet, the Lord has forgiven us all our sins, even the forgiveness of sins fully. But there's more than that. It's free. Because it hasn't cost us anything. It cost the Savior everything in our place. And the Lord has freely, by His grace given to us, He has paid the account. At one time the scales were tipped and our sin was the weight on the left side of the scale. But the Lord, He has taken our sin from us. He has taken it off and put it onto His account. And so now the scales have been tipped according to righteousness by the merit of the Lord Jesus. And it is a free transaction. He said, "Come, buy without money and without price. Receive the great gift of God's free salvation." And it's offered to you tonight. My friend, what holds you back? Why would you resist coming to receive this free gift of the forgiveness of your sins? It's a full forgiveness. It's a free forgiveness. And it is forever. Never to come back against you. What about being in heaven 10,000 years? The danger of some sin coming back to condemn you after all? No, never. Because the blood of Christ has covered and paid for all our sins, and it will be forever, never to come against us again. God has cast our sins into the sea of His forgetfulness. You say, well, can God actually forget something? Yes, He can, because He purposes to forget. And He casts those things behind us, and they are forever gone, never to come back against us. We have tonight so great salvation. In whom? In Christ. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let's bow, please, in prayer. As we are still for just a moment, our service is almost over. Maybe the Lord has been dealing with your heart tonight, and you have come under conviction of sin. Today is the day of salvation, you know. The Lord has opened the door for you. It's still open, open wide. Come, my friend, in the quietness of your heart right now. And just ask the Lord to save you from your sin. At the sound of your voice, the calling of your heart and your prayer, He will hear, He will forgive, He will deliver, because He has promised to do so in His Word. My friend, don't delay. Mr. Balachandran on Thursday dropped dead of a heart attack, 52 years old. Young people, their lives have been cut short. Car accidents, other issues have happened. Death comes. It's no respecter of persons. You must be ready. And you must know your sins have been pardoned and forgiven. And you can know tonight. My friend, I would encourage you, if you would like to wait behind and speak to any one of us, we'd be able to help you and show you from the Lord's Word how that you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're born again of the Spirit of God. Father, we bless Thee for the precious time Thou hast given to us in Thy house today. All we can pray now, Lord, is to take the Word and write it upon every heart. Save souls, we pray. Hear us, Lord, we ask of Thee. Bless us as we have a time of fellowship downstairs, that we might rejoice with one another. And Lord, we just ask that those who might be troubled about their salvation would wait behind and just speak to us, that we might show them the certainty of salvation from Thy Word. So hear our prayers now tonight, Father, we ask. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.